Good evening once again. We are so pleased to have the first session yesterday and tonight we want to continue. So if you look at the screen, I'm saying good evening once again to all the brethren at Burn Street Church. My wife and I, once again, will bring you warmest greetings from the saints who meet at Priscilla Street, Freetown, Sierra Leone, West Africa. This is our congregation. The picture is not too clear, but right back there is the white chalkboard that we use. We do teach the Bible, sound doctrine. That's the time I was preaching, and you have good brethren seated listening to the Word of God. That is what we normally do on Sundays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Mondays, and Thursdays, especially for the women. Now, Sierra Leone, where I come from, where my wife and I come from, we have the capital city, Freetown. All right, if you look right up there, you'll see the map of Africa where Sierra Leone is along the west coast. So this is the map of Sierra Leone. We have Freetown as the capital city, and then we have borders with Guinea and also a border with Liberia and also the sea. So we find ourselves in this place that the good Lord had caused us to be in. Well, this is just some little information concerning Sierra Leone. What you see up there is the currency that we use. It is called leones. As at this time, it was $1 to 8,800. So if I have $88,000 leones in my pocket, it means I only have what? $10 in my pocket. That's how it is, how worse it is. All right, and the minimum wage is just what? $50 per month for a family of, say, 5, 6, 7, 8. So you may find out that the next slide will tell us that where I come from, people are actually suffering. But we have a population about 7,834,000 people, all right, as at March 2019, last month. We have about 16 ethnic tribes. That is, we have the largest, the Timne, we have the Mende, 31%, and mostly we have our leaders from these groups because they are very, very large in number, and we know that politics and elections have to do with numbers. We also have the Limba, which is 8, and my wife's tribe is about 0.something%, but we are the Creoles, and we form only 2% of the tribal setting. Well, we have religious tolerance, and our religious tolerance is very, very rare. Unlike many other places, we have religious freedom. Because where we are, we have about 79% Muslims. And then we have denominational churches, about 18%. And then the non-institutional church, the sound churches, we have about 0.001, which I want to believe is only the church that meets at Priscilla Street. And we have institutional brethren, about 3%, because since 1950, they had been there. We too at Priscilla Street, we were apart until we had good brethren from the United States, Brother Jimmy Lee, Brother Jack Smith, Brother Steve Neymar, all of these people, they came our way and they taught us the unperverted gospel. And since that time, we've been worshiping God as he wants us to do. And then we have other kind of religious groups. We have the Freemasonry. We have the Hindus, we have so many. But everybody is allowed to do what he wants freely, even with the 79% of these Muslims. We thank God that they are not extremists, as we can see in other places. We also have 16 districts, just like how you say you have 52 states in America. All right? We have about 190 chiefdoms, and our square kilometers is only 71,740 kilometers. Well, the summary before we go to our lesson is that I can safely say without prejudice that Sierra Leone, where we come from, we thank God. I'm using this particular because when I go to the lesson proper, I may have to refer to this. Sierra Leone is one of the poorest countries in the world that is facing many challenges. It has one of the highest youth unemployment rates in West Africa. Most of our youths, they will stand up in the morning and they are literally the beggars. They will say, yes, we are here, nothing to eat. They are actually begging because no jobs, no good education to afford them. Much of our drinking water is collected from boreholes, polluted sources. You know, that is why we have so many waterborne diseases affecting especially those in the interland. And then what? And the, one of the worst literacy rates in Africa, and health problems, including HIV, malaria, and other diseases like yellow fever. Lastly, as a summary, about 81% of the population lives in poverty. 81% lives in poverty. So, I want to, on behalf of my wife and myself, express our gratitude to the elders, especially Steve Bills, because he and myself, we had been on this thing for a long time, for allowing me to lead in this gospel meeting. So many other preachers are available, gospel preachers like Don White and others. But your decision to get my wife to accompany me here to do is really so amazing. I'm very, very grateful. May God continue to bless you all. Amen. Tonight, I have in my hand, which all of you do have, a mobile phone. This mobile phone, you know, in Africa where I come from, when there's an incoming call, it normally displays the ID of the person calling. Do you remember that? Say, for example, if I should call Steve, Steve will see Christian calling. And there are times in Africa, because of the liability calls, do you know what is a liability call? You know, sometimes when people call you, you know they want to get something out of you. So you look at the number, you say, oh, I'm not going to answer this call. You understand? Sometimes we put away calls, sometimes we shut them off, and all that because what? It's liability. It means an outflow from your side. So, most of us, we have a choice whether to answer to the call coming in, or probably when your wife calls you, you have a choice to answer to her call or no. Or when your husband calls, you have the choice to answer and all of that. But today, as we start this series, this five lesson series, we have five calls that we must answer. Five calls that we must answer. And every day by His grace, we shall deal with one. When we say must, you know, those of us, it's not too difficult for us to understand that when you say must, it is mandatory. You must do this. In other words, you have no latitude. You have no freedom from the restrictions. You are told to do this. It is required. It's on compulsion that you do this particular. So when we say we have five calls that we must answer, it means that you cannot say, oh, no, I cannot answer this call. No. If we say you must arrive in class on time, the requirement is an imperative. It means it's a command. You have to go there right on time, not late. Remember when Paul was on his way to Damascus, he met with the light. He met with Jesus Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? And then later on he noticed that he was blind, and then he heard a voice saying, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. In other words, at that time, Paul had no freedom, that he must go to that city and then do what he must do. So if we have 5 calls to answer, let's brace up ourselves that by the end of this gospel meeting, we'll always remind ourselves that we have 5 calls to answer. In the first place, the first call, we have all answered it. As we sit here, we have all answered. Every living person in this world this time has answered the first call. And the first call is the call to life. The first call is the call to life. Well, this is quite interesting. Some of us wouldn't know that term one. We have all answered this call because we are here. We cannot change that fact. Are you not here, Brother Steve? If you are in this life, everybody is here. But let us know that we were born into this world without our consent. You know, in Africa, I can remember when Mary and myself were fleeing with our children during the fratricidal warfare, the bloodshed, during a civil war. We saw people carrying their hands on their heads after probably a rocket or a bomb or whatever. And people were saying, why was I born into this world? People were crying. And we too, even though we had faith in God, were a little bit hesitant because we do not know whether that would have been our last day on this earth. But we were born into this world without our consent, because most people, if you ask them, if God had asked us, Christian, do you want to be born into the world? I want to say, well, probably yes, God. I want to, but I don't want to be born in Sierra Leone, because Sierra Leone is quite difficult. I want to be born into the family of Donald Trump, so that I can be here to that Trump Plaza. Where is the Trump Plaza? Is it here? Okay. I'm looking. I want to see that place. But we had no choice. All of a sudden, we are here. Not so? We had no choice. But in Africa, events sometimes lead to some statement like what Job said in Job 3 and verse 3. If you have your Bibles, let us look at what Job 3 and verse 3, what Job felt. All right, during the time, a lot had happened to him. Job said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. So I want to believe that even if he had the power, he would have said, Lord, I'm not going into the earthly world. In Jeremiah 20 and verse 18, the weeping prophet said, wherefore came out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. You know, many a time, there are a lot of incidences that will happen to you that you regret. Why am I here in this world in the first place? Well, some of you have been blessed. All right, you may not have gone through this, but there are people who are actually regretting why they are alive. But it's a call that they must answer. Because when God is ready for you to come into this world, he does not ask us our consent. He does not ask you whether you want to be born here or there. In fact, number 3 point, it tells us that God selects our heritage. We'll come to that later. But let us know that even though God did not ask us our consent, we are here. We are born into a ruptured world. Do you know what's a ruptured world? A world that is marked with difficulties. You know, when announcements have been made, I hear, but I don't say a sister is undergoing operation, a brother is this, that, you know, a lot of cancer, all kinds of diseases, poverty, all right, natural disasters, actions of men, wicked men, you know, we just do a lot, just imagine World Trade Center, the towers, wicked people, had a lot of people killed, and all of that. It's ruptured. It's marked with a lot of difficulties. You know, the earth was just perfect before Genesis 3, where the temptation came in. The Bible says Adam and Eve lived in total absence of care, want, grief, pain, etc. It was a paradise. But when sin entered, you find out that His pain in childbearing was multiplied. You know, I wonder, somebody, one little child the other day, I was teaching on Genesis 3, and then the little girl, so smart, she said, when I said, God said to the serpent, on thy belly shalt thou crawl all the days of thy life, and I shall put enmity between you and the seed against. Then after service, the little girl, about 12, she just came and held my hand and said, just a minute, brother. He said, how did the snake used to walk? That was an interesting question. Because when God calls on the, apparently, the snake never used to crawl on the ground. Because when God said, hey, on your belly thou shalt crawl, or probably God had intention for you to walk upright or whatever. So I told the girl, I said, you know what? You just, well, can you see the snake? Do you know a snake? I have not seen the snake. I said, oh, wait, I'll answer your question. Well, I was a little bit baffled as to whether the snake was moving like this upright until God said, you're on your belly. But when sin came into the world, we found out that Eve's pain, you know, my wife had three children for me. I remember those days, the eve of what? The bath. I know what she went through. But that's what I always remind her, that's sin. Our sin was what? Transferred to you. To bring your fourth child, every woman's childbearing pain will be multiplied. And then Adam, us. All right, will be our work will be complicated as the ground was cursed with thorns and weeds. So, just imagine, we are not told that we are coming into this world. We are born into this world without our consent. We are born into a roughshod world marked with a lot of difficulties. And then God selected our heritage. He said, you are going to be born into Sierra Leone. You'll be a Sierra Leonean. You are going to be an American. I'm happy for all of you. No love lost. Because God said, I'll be born in Sierra Leone. You'll be born in America. Hispanic. Or you'll be born into the Asgill family. My dad was just a common a poor, very, very low honor. All right? The Bills family, you'll be born into the Bills family. You'll be born into the Faust family. Look, I use all the elders and Joe because they are the ones that have been communicating. You're all just important in my lesson. But Kalai family, Stodler said, you understand why I use all of these names? Because when I was doing this sermon, I never used to know about them. All of you were good brethren. So, God said, Brother Taylor, you'll be born into the Taylor family. You do not contribute. This is a must, you'll be born there. Otherwise, some people would have said, no, I'm not ready to be born into that family. Probably that family has a lot of problems. Probably this. Let me be born otherwise, or otherwhere, or other places and all of that. But God says, you are going to be born into what I selected for you. Different parts of the world we are all born into. Now, I know that Don was telling me that they are studying Revelations. All right? Jesus Christ, when John was on the island of Patmos, he was receiving some instruction, all right, about what he should write unto the churches of Asia. In verse 9 of Revelation 2, Jesus Christ said something that we should know that he is aware of our heritage. He knows where we are. Revelations 2:9, probably you have done that. All right, verse 9. It says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. So God knows that is going to a man. You are going to be born where you are rich, where you are poor. So therefore, our riches, our poverty, or whatever situation God has allowed us to be born into, we have to be very, very careful with how we handle those circumstances. Because many a time, I've had people, not you, back home, they say, well, I don't know why God has allowed me to be born into this place here, into this family. No, you do not regret, you do not question God. And even though we were born into this world without our consent, into a ruptured world, God selected our heritage, we are not here forever. Our days are fleeting. You know, I remember myself in the kindergarten, preschool, first, sixth, seventh grade, secondary, what, blah, blah, blah. Look at mine. I'm past 50. In no time, I'll be 70. By the time I'm 100, 200, are you sure I reach 200? No. Fleeting days. However long but short, before you begin to understand life, it's cut short. Some would have lived for one day. You have heard about these one-day-old babies, not so? They are born one day, they go. Some 30 days, some 1 year, some 5 years, 25, 70. Listen to what Job says in Job 14, 1 and 2. He says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days, and is full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower, and is cut down. He fled also as a shadow, and continued not. James 4, 14 to 15, the Bible says that we do not know what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? What is my life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. So, if you have plans for tomorrow, if you have plans for the next 5 years, if you have plans for the next 20 years, or any longer term plan, please say, as the Bible is encouraging, for you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that, because our days are fleeting. So our first call that we must answer, that we have all answered, is the call to life. Call to life, born into this world without our consent. God does not encourage us to know where you want to be born. He decides where you're going to be born. The offshore world marked with difficulties, and then you won't be here forever and ever because life is fleeting. In other words, or simply put, we did not offer ourselves into this world. I want all of us to underline this word. God made us for one purpose, to serve him while we have breath. However, though this is very, very simple, some have misplaced priorities in life. Some have misplaced priorities in life. If you look at the middle of that grid, I'm saying in Luke 14, 15b to 24, where the king sent out from what to get people coming in, it did not say the land that they were saying they have, but the things that they have, the animals, the job, the marriage, the family, all of these things that we are concerned with are not worth it. No, we are not discounting the value of those things. But if you look at what the Bible says in Luke 12, 13 to 21, the Bible says, when Jesus Christ was asked to interfere with an inheritance, he said, no, this is not my role. Nobody made me a judge over that. But I want you to know that there was a man, a rich man, which I will call a fool. All right? He had a what? Great harvest. And then instead of giving thanks to God and sharing, all right, he said, you know what? I have worked all my life. And God has blessed me. He's blessed me enough that I do not have enough storage. So what I will do, I'll break down these smaller bands. I'll make bigger ones more than this building and stock all in there. Then I will say to myself, soul, relax and enjoy yourself. But you see, that very night, the Bible says his soul was required of him. So in other words, if we have all of these things in abundance, let us know that we need to distribute, to communicate. Because I'm not saying that you are forced to do, but the Bible says charge them that are rich in this world that they may not be high-minded. You know, we have again 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11 says, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your hands as we had commanded you. It's good that we do that. In Matthew 10, 34 to 37, we find out that Matthew 10, 34 to 37, I will read. The Bible says, for I am come to set a variance against his father, a man, at variance with his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter against her in-law, and against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be there of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. All right, so that is verse 37. So, in other words, Jesus Christ was saying that all of these people who place some serious emphasis on acquiring land, marriage, animals, and all of that, those are the scriptures to say that it is not a matter. That is not the purpose for which I brought you into this world. That is not the purpose for which I ushered you into this world. So, therefore, we need to maintain a fine balance between the higher purpose, all right, for this chance in life. Because remember, we are just passing this way once. We'll never have a second time to live on this earth. All right? All right, it says that we need to glorify God. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God which is in heaven. You know, many a time our lights are so dim. Our lights are so dull. All right, we just live through this world. Nobody takes notice of how we are influencing the world, how we're influencing our neighborhood, how we do this, all that. Nobody knows that even God has ushered you into this world. The Bible says also we need to worship him. The Bible says in John 4, verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We need to worship God with the truth, the way he wants it in the Bible, and also with the contrition, the kind of heart, the humble heart, the humility in our hearts. In Hebrews 12 and verse 28, the Bible says, wherefore we receive the kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God accordingly, acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. We need to respect God. In respecting God, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We need to obey God. Because we are in this world already. We need to obey him. That is why we are here. We cannot say we are not here. We are here. In John 14 and verse 15, the Bible says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We need to exalt Jesus. In Philippians 1 and verse 19, the Bible tells us that Philippians 1, 19 to 21, it says, but I trust in the Lord to send Timothy, 19:21, send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care aright for your state. For all seek their own, but not the things which are Jesus Christ. We need to exalt him. Make sure that what we seek is not our own, but that which is a man can be a man shown with Jesus Christ. To spread the gospel is also our responsibility in this life. In John 15 and verse 8, the Bible says, here is my Father glorified, that he bear much fruit. That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Brethren, if we go all year long without souls being added, no fruits, the first year, the second year, the third year, you know what? Jesus Christ is going to stop by, as he did with the fig tree. He said, you should be having food. But because you do not have food, you'll be used as what? As wood. You'll be cut down and all of that. So if we want to live, the higher purpose for this chance in life, remember you did not come here for yourself. I did not come here for myself. I don't know. My late parents, both of them have died. All right. I didn't even know that they were married. And what the later I just saw them, you know, towering over me. I was a small boy. And then until what? And then as I begin to understand life, as I begin to understand, why am I here? What am I doing? Where did I come from? What? A lot of questions. That's what led me to my quest to return to the God who authored me in this world. So, brethren, we have the higher purpose in this life. And if we fail to get it right in this life, we may be counted as fool, as we said in Luke 12. Say, thou fool, thy life is required of thee. And will not be admitted into that banquet because we said, no, we are not coming until the master got vexed and said, go and call everybody. Let them come in. They will not taste of my food. Not worthy. As in Matthew 10, 37 to 38, the Bible says, God will say, we are not worthy to partake of the heavenly feast. Let's look at Matthew 10, 37 and 38. The Bible says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy. And he that taketh not his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. You know, many a time we take up our cross, put it by the side. Nobody knows that we are carrying our cross. That is not literally. Nobody knows that we are carrying our cross. We just live our lives. We just sail along with life. Nobody knows that either you are a Christian or you want to live the higher emat purpose. All right? So, Jesus Christ said, if we fail to give it right, to get it right, you're going to classify us as a fool, not worthy, not admitted. So, in concluding, we all know that we are here and we cannot change the fact that we are here. Not so? Are we not here? We are. Who did purchase some device this morning so that they can see by putting at your side? No. I don't even know how the voice is forming. I'm just here. And then you're understanding. Isn't God? God is great. If I should open your ears now, probably you'll just see some small things. But it makes you to understand. Even if I split open your brain, your skull, there will not be anything like a recorder or something that would. God is just wonderful. No wonder in Psalms 8, the psalmist said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God made us. He knows. He knows every one of us. We are on his palm. He knows that you are in America. He knows you have money. He knows you don't have money. He knows you have some talent. He knows you don't have that same talent. He knows. But if we begin to bury that talent to the expense of his kingdom, the growth of his kingdom, then we have an issue. He may want to say, you have not got it right. So what we need to do, if we are here, and we have not recognized the fact that we have this call that we have already answered. It's just the first call among the five. We need to acknowledge his grace now and embrace his love because he has given us a chance. We are not in the world of the pre-born. No, we are already here. We are here. In Titus 2, 11 and 12, the Bible says, so the grace of God has appeared unto all men.
I just want to quote, to read this, not quote it. Are you there with me? Titus 2, 11 and 12. Says, for the grace of God, all right, that bringeth salvation unto all men, had appeared unto all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We are here, we cannot change that fact. We ought to live soberly in this present world. But those of us who are Christians, who have followed Matt, the plan of salvation, we have been heard the word of God, we have believed it, we have repented of our sins, we have confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, we have been baptized, we are always Matt, continuing steadfastly. But we have not had this lesson that we are in this world not for ourselves. But we are. That is why in Job 1 and verse 6, there was a little contest from verse 6. When the sons of Job came to worship, Satan was in their midst. And then God saw him and said, Satan, where are you coming from? I don't know whether Satan is here. But God was asking, what are you doing among my sons? Then God said, have you considered Job, my servant? Then Satan said, oh, you think I'm mad. It's for naught that Job is after you. It's because of what you've given him. That is why he's there. Please, let us pray hard that God and Satan do not enter into any pawn game with you or with me to test. See how Job was upright man? One day everything he lost, even down to his body, until the point that his dearest, I can't imagine Mary looking at Christian and say, Christian, you know, you've worked for God. But you know what? This situation you're in, cross God and die. It's too hopeless. But we know our wives that we have, they will encourage us. They will say, pray them more. We know probably it's a test from God. Brethren, let us have a different look at our life now. We who are Christians. We are not here for ourselves. Don't be mistaken. You do not know how you come. And all of that. All is required that what? You should continue steadfastly. Always setting affections on the things above according to Colossians 3 and verse 2. But for some, because I heard that we have some visitors here. Some of you, you may not have followed this simple plan of salvation. You may have thought that I am in this world. I am the managing director for this. I am this, all of that. You just think that you are just sailing on. You forgot to know the author of your life in this world. Now that you have known, I know you are full of regrets. But regrets and repentance does not go hand in hand. You need to what? As you have believed the word, to repent of your sins. And then you come forward, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And just exactly what happens in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when the first sermon was given, in verse 37, the Bible says, and these men were pricked in their hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And that's the same answer I will give you. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then you associate you with the church activities. You become active. Continue steadfastly. Because you know why? Why all of these brethren here, we are trying to be steadfast? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, said, be steadfast, brethren, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know why? For you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Brethren, I like Hebrews 6 and verse 10. Hebrews 6 and verse 10, my brother. What does it say? Hebrews 6 and verse 10.
For God is not unrighteous.
Yes.
Your work and labor of love.
Yes.
Which ye have showed toward his name.
Yeah.
And that ye have ministered to the saints.
And there you minister. God is not unfaithful to forget your good works. My brethren, when I started in 1982, and by 1984, I started some little teaching. I came across this verse. And this confidence I have in this verse had made me to sail through. Let's live for God. Let's live this purpose. Let's make sure that we glorify him. We worship him. We reverence him. We respect him. We obey. We exalt him. We spread the gospel. That's all. You have the opportunity, those of you who have not been added to the Lord's church yet, to do so as we sing the song of invitation. For those of us who have not, have I done much for the higher purpose in this life, who are already Christians, please, let us pray. Let's ask for prayers. Let's ask our brethren to pray for ourselves so that we can take all of these, all right, and to focus and then live as we ought to. Because if we fail to get it right in this life, there will be no second chance. There won't be. There won't be. Judgment will come to judgment, and then you see how what it looks like. So, on behalf of my wife and myself, and to all of you who have been under my voice, I want to say have a blessed night. But before you sleep, pray that God will strengthen you to live the higher purpose in life. For those of you who want to be baptized or be added to the Lord's church, which is far better than the state that you are in, you can do so now while we stand and sing this song of invitation.